You will often hear people say that they either live in or grew up in the Bible Belt. And if they want to drive that point home, they'll say that they live in or grew up in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Well, in order to show my credentials as someone who both grew up in and lives in the buckle of the Bible Belt, the city I live in is the home of the international headquarters of the Assemblies of God Church. In other words, the equivalent to the Vatican for the Assemblies of God is here. So what does that tell you? A large portion, if not the majority of people in this area, are Assemblies of God. Next would be the Southern Baptist. Then a remaining 30% or so of the population is dispersed among all the other denominations, with a paltry 5% of that population being Catholic. In other words, I live in a very fundamentalist evangelical Christian area, and even though I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, I was heavily influenced by many of the fundamentalist ideas, such as the prosperity gospel. Now, the prosperity gospel says that if you are saved and do enough good, such as giving to the church, God will make you rich, happy, and healthy. And if you are not rich, happy, and healthy, it's because you didn't have enough faith, give enough money to the church, choose the right scripture verse, name it and claim it, or perhaps you were sinning. If God doesn't bless you, it's your fault. Now, I'm not one of those many converts that you've all heard about who set out to disprove Catholicism through history and study of the Bible and came to realize that it was the truth. I've always believed in God, always believed in Jesus Christ, but when I was younger, I wanted to have fun. So I made a deal with God that I would be able to party, drink, and do other things, and when I got older, that I would live my life for Him. When I got to be about 22 or 23 years old, I came to the realization that the party life wasn't as fulfilling as I thought it would be. So I did a very Protestant thing, and I got on my knees and gave my life completely to God. Not that you have to be a Protestant to do that. And I asked God what church He wanted me to join, and He made it very clear that it was the Catholic Church. Of course, I went through the RCIA program, which was very watered down. They did not give us a rich catechism on Catholicism. So I had a very mixed theology of very Protestant ideas with some new Catholic ones. But I began to watch EWTN fairly regularly, and I noticed a discrepancy in what the Catholic Church was saying in this area and what these fundamentalists were saying. At least those from the Assemblies of God and Southern Baptist that so heavily influenced me. While the fundamentalists were saying that if you were a Christian and you were doing what you were supposed to do, God would make you rich, healthy, and happy, and make all your dreams come true, the Catholic Church seemed to be saying that being a Christian meant suffering and being poor, and in some cases suffering horribly and being very poor. I would watch a show on EWTN about the lives of the saints by Bob and Penny Lord, and I noticed that some of these saints were really suffering. For instance, Saint Rita, who is now one of my favorite saints, prayed to God for her sons to die rather than avenge their father's death. So I decided I needed to find out which one was true. Now, I'm not going to lie, I was rooting for the prosperity gospel, that God would make all my dreams come true. But after reading the Bible, I found that it was the Catholic view that was true, both to my surprise and to my dismay. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us or reward us even monetarily, especially when we tithe, or that He won't answer our prayers. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. But the idea that we shouldn't suffer as Christians is wrong, or that suffering is a sign of displeasure from God and prosperity is a sign of pleasing God is again wrong, and preached against by Jesus Himself in several places. For instance, Matthew 5:45, He says, "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And Luke 13:2, He says, "Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish." I also noticed that the apostles and the other followers of Jesus that are prominent in the New Testament never got rich. They were never spared any suffering, and most of them died horrible deaths. So if being a Christian means that we're going to be rich and never suffer and all that, then why did the apostles and early Christians get thrown off buildings, crucified upside down, beheaded, and spend years in prison? The Holy Spirit said of Paul in Acts 9:16, For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Why would they have to suffer and then we not have to suffer? And isn't it interesting that it's only in America that this prosperity gospel has taken root, where we think we shouldn't have to suffer? We get mad if we take an ibuprofen and our headache doesn't go away right away, or if we have to wait 5 minutes for our fries in a fast food restaurant. But not only did I see that there's no justification for the prosperity gospel in the Bible, I found a stark warning against being rich, and that a rich person will most likely go to hell, or at least it's much more difficult for a rich person to be saved. Matthew 19:24. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And of course, we've all heard this, but do we ever really think about how profound that is? Yes, I understand the eye of a needle is not an actual sewing needle. It's a place where the camels would have to go through from the outside of the gate to get into the city, and they did it with great difficulty. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus emphasized how difficult it is for the rich to be saved. The Blessed Mother herself not only said in her Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and from this day forward all generations will call me blessed," she also says, "He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." And of course, there's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was poor, the rich man was rich, and he would not share his food or give him anything to drink. In the afterlife, Lazarus was comforted in Sheol, or the limbo of the fathers, and the rich man was either in hell or purgatory. Either way, he was in flames and suffering very much. James 2, 5-7 says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme that honorable name by which you are called?" 1 Timothy 6, 8-9. "But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction." That doesn't sound like a promise to be rich to me. It sounds like a warning to be content with what we have and not to go after worldly riches. Of course, it's not impossible for the rich to be saved. It's just more difficult. And we have examples of saints who are rich in this life and who were saved, but most of them sold their wealth and embraced poverty, such as St. Francis of Assisi. And the Bible tells us that the rich can be saved, they just have to be generous, 1 Timothy 6, 17-19. "As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good deeds, liberal and generous, thus laying up for themselves a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life which is life indeed." Look, the point is this: suffering and poverty is the sign of salvation, not riches and no worries. The Bible warns against wealth and makes it clear that being poor is a blessing, far from the prosperity gospel that says the opposite. The prosperity gospel is a false gospel, and there are many pastors of many churches, as well as regular Christians, who have obscene wealth, and that wealth will cause them to miss heaven. The Bible makes it very clear the rich have a lot of responsibility, and if they don't live up to that responsibility, they will burn in hell. So at the final judgment, don't be surprised when some of these televangelists who make millions of dollars and have private jets are the ones who are going to go to hell. God promises to give us what we need. He promises to reward us when we are generous, but nowhere does he promise to make us rich or have perfect health or that we will not have to suffer. But the prosperity gospel is so popular because become a Christian and suffer doesn't sell. Become a Christian and get rich does. The problem is once these people realize that it's false, they assume the whole thing is false, and they fall away from faith and Christianity and Christ altogether and put their souls in danger of being damned. I myself, when I was a youth, wanted to be rich. Now I'm doing okay, I'm middle class, I have a job, my wife has a job, and we own our own home. But we are not rich, at least not by American standards. And I thank God for that, because I would not want the responsibility. So at the end of the day, I thank God that I'm not rich, and you should too. But if you are rich, be sure to be generous with your wealth. Scripture says that we should not go after worldly riches. but rather seek riches in heaven. Until my next video, God bless.